Worship this morning is John 15, 12 through 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends.
So we're here today, Lord, to glorify you. We pray for these who have been lifted up, those who are sick, and those who need your comforting touch, for all the needs in this world. We just pray for your very special blessing. Thank you. You've invited us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
28.
Jesus gave us these emblems, that's what he was wanting us to do, to continue to cling to the old record cross, to remember his sacrifice. So on this Palm Sunday, which we remember the last week of his life, although I've been preaching about the last week of his life for several weeks, let's remember this sacrifice that he made as we partake of the bread and the cup. And together we pray. At this time, we'll take up our offering. Lord, we come to you thanking you for all your blessings to us. You give us spiritual blessings, just knowing that we can have a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. You give us material blessings, and everything that we have, it's a gift from you. So as we give back, use these gifts for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray.
We're going to have special music.
Blind, but now I see. Thank you.
scripture reading this morning is John 18, 28 through 40. Then the Jews led Jesus from Capernaum to the place of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid a ceremonial uncleanliness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the king of Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Truth. A question we're going to see that Pilate asked, what is truth? Now, there are some things that we can have opinions on, but that's not truth. For example, you know, we can, well, I think most of us would have this opinion, we're going to eat good today, right? That actually is probably truth. But sometimes you can go to a restaurant and say they got good food, and that might be your opinion. You read the reviews, and some say it's always good, and some say it's never good. And so some things are opinion. But truth is something that it just is. Now, the Oxford Dictionary had the word of the year in 2016. It was post-truth. Post-truth, an adjective defined as relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influence in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal opinion. So, in other words, there's a lot of things today that are shaping truth, and people might even say, well, that might have used to have been truth, but experiences have changed it from being truth. So you have a word like post-truth. You had a word come out several years ago called politically correct. Yes. That's an oxymoron if I ever heard one right there. You know, correctness, politics, you know, just saying, you know. So, anyhow, we see that Pilate is going to ask a question that our world is often asking.
Jesus has already said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So a lot of those things were upsetting to these religious leaders. And so they had constantly been trying to get Jesus. And now we know that Judas had led them to the garden where Jesus and the disciples were. And so this big army of people comes to take Jesus. And now they take him before Pilate. Now, that's really interesting that they took him before Pilate, because Pilate was the Roman governor. He had jurisdiction over Judea, but it's like, religiously speaking, they could have killed Jesus on their own. I mean, there were other times they didn't go to the Roman governor. They just pick up stones and they would kill him. But all those times that they, even the time that they picked up stones, they didn't kill him. So now they bring him to the Roman governor, Pilate. Now, so they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium. That is the residence, the palace of Pilate. But they themselves did not go in, lest they should be defiled. You know what's interesting about this? Jewish law came up with so many things that wasn't in the biblical law. That wasn't the law of Moses. Wasn't anything that they found in the Old Testament scriptures, which was the Bible that they had. It was something that the Jewish religious leaders basically created. You know, it's like the law, the Sabbath. Jesus said very little about it, but there was 27 pages that Jewish law had written about it. And so this is another one of those things. So they believed that if they went into the house, into the palace of Pilate, they would be defiled, because he wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile. And by the way, that's one of the things that the Jews were very upset with Jesus, because he was saying the gospel message was for all people. It doesn't matter about race. It doesn't matter about Jew or Gentile. All people can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said it's for everyone. And the Jews were like, what? How can that be? That's just absurd. So they deliver him to Pilate. Pilate then went out to them, because they wouldn't come in to Pilate. He had to go outside of the palace. And he said to them, what accusation do you bring against this man? Now, this is interesting. They answered and looked. There is no accusation. They answered and said, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. So I guess they thought Pilate was going to say, oh, okay then. He's just a bad guy, Pilate. Oh, all right. Well, yeah, okay, we'll go ahead and crucify him. No, he didn't do that. But that's what they were just pretty much saying. So then Pilate said to them, you take him then. You take him and you judge him according to your law. Now, Pilate was giving them a free pass. But here's what the Jews said. Well, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. Which really wasn't what they believed. Because there were other times they'd pick up stones and they would kill people. But they said, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. Now, that verse is so significant. Because if they had put Jesus to death, it wouldn't have been on a cross. It was prophesied 700 years before the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, that the Messiah would die crucified on a cross. And had they taken him and said, okay, well, we'll just stone him. But something was keeping them from doing it. And I don't think it was that they studied Isaiah and they thought, well, just in case he is the Messiah, I guess we should have him crucified. That's not what's going on. But there was something, and it was the power of God, I believe, that was directing this. And they said, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. And you know what I kind of think? They did not want the responsibility of being the ones who crucified him. I mean, they didn't want to be have the responsibility of being the ones that killed him. Because they saw the miracles. They saw amazing things. But it wasn't enough to convict them that this was indeed the Messiah. And so, something was keeping them from doing it. Now, Pilate didn't want to deal with it either. This is the best passing the buck kind of thing, passing it back and forth. They didn't want to do it. Pilate didn't want to do it. So, they had delivered Jesus to Pilate. Then, we come to the dialogue that Jesus had with Pilate. So Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you speaking for yourselves about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" He's still trying to figure out what is it that they have done that's got the Jews so riled up. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here." When they came to take Jesus, and Peter took that sword, and he cut off the ear of that dude, that would have been the time for them to fight if it was going to be a political kingdom. And you know, the fact that it would have just been 12 of them is insignificant, because you remember Gideon. When God said to Gideon, "You got too many people fighting, cut it down." So he cuts it down, and he says, "You still got too many." He cuts that number down until there's like 300 going against 10,000. And Gideon and his 300 army, they won. They defeated. And so, the same thing could have happened if it was God's will that this would be a kingdom where they would fight. Pilate said, "Are you a king then?" So he's still trying to figure it out. Jesus said, "You say rightly that I'm a king." Now, if Jesus had stopped right there, then Pilate had everything he needed, because that would be grounds. You know, that would be insurrection. That would be a threat to the emperor. But he said, "For this cause I was born, and for the cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And so then the question from Pilate, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. So he was wanting to just release Jesus. But the Jews, they had stirred up so much noise that Pilate was feeling threatened. Now, the works of Josephus, the Jewish historian, he actually writes it from a historical viewpoint that when Pilate first came to town, he had banners that had drawings of the emperor. And the Jews reacted to that because they considered that graven images, and so they went and pled with Pilate to remove them. And Josephus writes that when Pilate refused to do it, finally there came a point where he said, if you people don't leave me alone, I'm going to just kill you. And they said, go ahead and kill us. And then they realized he wasn't going to do it. So to get rid of him, he took down the banners. And an emissary was sent to the emperor that said, hey, your guy's not leading us right. And so Pilate, Josephus tells us, was called on the carpets. There had been a history between the two. So Pilate, he didn't want the emperor to get on his case. He felt that he could be removed from his position. You see, politics, it existed a long time ago. It's like, I gotta give the people what they want. And he felt some of that. So then he thought, okay, I got the solution. There is this guy, Barabbas, who is a prisoner. Now there's some things that I find interesting about Barabbas. Barabbas, first of all, his name means son of the father. And I find that really interesting that Jesus is the son of the father and that Barabbas' name is son of the father. Another thing I find in history, Barabbas' first name was Jesus. Jesus Barabbas. And so we have Jesus, who is son of the Father. He was a real person. Luke, I believe it's Mark that says that he was a murderer. John says he was a robber. The other gospel writers have some characteristic to put on him. And he was a criminal. And so Pilate thought, oh, okay, all right, I'm making Jesus a prisoner, but today we're going to be celebrating the Passover. I can release one of the two. Who do you want me to release? And he thought they were going to say Barabbas. Really? Or he thought they were going to say release Jesus because we don't want that criminal out among us. But they said, release Barabbas. Release Barabbas. So Pilate makes the decision. The decision that would change everything. The decision to have Jesus crucified. Now we're not going to get into chapter 19 today, but there's when we get into that next week, we're going to see that Jesus even made the statement that the judgment on the ones who delivered him to Pilate would be greater than that on Pilate. And I really don't understand how it's greater, because when it's uh-oh what you did and uh-oh what they did, I don't know how it can get good. But Pilate made a decision that he felt like he had no way out of it. And we come to a time as we think about Jesus and all the things pertaining that got him to the place where he was crucified. And we stop and we think about this. He did it for you and me. Because folks, without Jesus, we were all just doomed to hell. With Jesus, we can find eternal life. And so we come to the time where we make the decision. Pilate made a decision. The Jews made a decision. And now, it's time for us to make the decision. Can you make the decision that the Psalm number 452 says? Here I am, Lord. If you can make that decision today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come forward and surrender to Him. And if you already know Christ as your Savior, I do want to invite those of you, you're here with us, you know, just come and stand with us and say that you want to be a part of this church family. And if you're a believer in Christ, you surrendered your life to Him, then that's all you need to do. We don't care about the paper. You know, it's just a statement that, hey, we are together. So, this morning, if you have a decision on your heart, feel free to come now as we stand and as we say number 452.
Thank you.